Before we get started, a quick word from our sponsor.
What are some of the most incredible parts of owning a business?
The most incredible part is the journey of it all. The people you get to meet, the rooms you get to be in. That's hands down the best part is you don't know where it's going to take you, but it's the best ride ever. Get through all the downs because the ups are way better.
Brought to you by Canvas Credit Union.
Hey everybody, Mike Lawson here with CU Broadcast. Welcome back to our continued coverage of CUNA's Marketing and Business Development Council Conference. And we covered the business development session this afternoon with some great takeaways. And in this particular clip, the panelists talked about what strategies they use to reach out to their communities during the pandemic. So check it out.
To reach out to target audiences amidst COVID. And I'm curious if there were any new strategies you use to reach out to people. Are these things you're going to keep doing once things open up again?
As I mentioned before, we took a lot of things online. We started referring very heavily to Zoom meetings and pre-recorded new employee orientation videos. I think everybody's probably really, really sick of Zoom at this point. But they were tools we had before, but we probably underutilized them a bit in preference for those in-person meetings. I think we'll definitely continue to offer virtual options for most of what we do. It's become an extra added benefit we can offer to our SEG partners and our community partners. Rather than going out and requesting tablings or vying for a spot in an employee health fair or all of the other things that we would do in person, we can now use our time a little bit smarter by shifting some of those things online and, you know, offering them that flexibility where if they're like, hey, we can't set up a table for you in the lunchroom, but what we can do is offer a webinar or offer this opportunity to get in front of our employees in a different way, where we can now, you know, take that a little bit more seriously. And I think our team now feels a little bit more confident in offering that, whereas before, I think there was a little bit of trepidation on their part when it comes to some of the online offerings.
Awesome. I like all the options that you made available to people. And Michael, for you, were there any new strategies that you used to reach across different segments and targeted audience is during COVID?
Yeah, definitely. A lot of things that Amber discussed, you know, were similar changes that we made at MHV. But one in particular that we really focused on was leading with education. You know, we invested in a financial education specialist to work full time in our marketing department, as I mentioned. And instead of talking about, hey, you know, what can we support in terms of tabling or coming to speak to the employees, is that what education can we provide to your employees as a benefit to them and something that, you as an employer would appreciate, you know, them learning from a finance perspective and surveying, some, you know, having some of our groups, you know, send out surveys to their employees, figuring out what topics they wanted to learn about, budgeting, debt management, credit scores, et cetera, and then building out customizable content and programs to provide to employees so that they can immerse themselves and give themselves better financial foundation and financial footing. We saw that it was really, really well received amongst our partners.
Great. And Kristen, how about you and your experience?
Yeah, kind of a common theme here. I'm not sure it's necessarily new, but I think that we kind of refocused and refined to make sure we were more intentional with the content or financial education we were providing to those audiences. We realized the more relevant and specific the content, the more success we were tending to see. We hosted webinars on how to manage your finances during a crisis, and they were extremely well attended. Our retail market development team created a virtual event strategy, a virtual grand opening strategy, and they also created some Zoom tips for networking. And then they also just put together a reentry strategy as we move forward into the new year. So looking forward to that. And I think you'll see some of these stay around. I think we'll probably have a hybrid of this. More people are used to logging into a Zoom webinar and more open to it. So I think you'll see a lot of in-person and online stuff as well.
Great. And I'm curious, Amber, for you, with all the changes that of course happened over the past year, were there some things that you happily discovered for you and your team that you would have never done otherwise during the pandemic that are definitely going to stay on the radar moving forward?
I think one thing that we definitely started doing, and I think we were doing it on a one-off basis before, but there was no actual program wrapped around it, is we really empowered our frontline staff to help our members when they needed it. We gave them up to $250 per member to use without needing any extra approval. for any issue they found during a conversation. So we ended up buying groceries, paying emergency medical bills, making loan payments, even getting temporary housing for members that were displaced by the wildfires, since, you know, we were in California handling both a wildfire season that was unprecedented and the pandemic. I think it's something that we'll continue to do, is to, you know, empower our employees on a larger level to do more to help that is outside of what we would do normally for, you know, loan deferments and things of that nature.
Wow, that's pretty impressive. $250 per member. That's extremely impressive. There's a great question that came in from the chat, and either Kristen or Michael, maybe you can answer this, or Amber, you as well. And the question is this, that we are finding, Kristen writes this, we are finding that our virtual events are not having the same results as our in-person events. Do you have any tips or pointers for member acquisitions through virtual events or promotion? That's a really great question and a no challenge for a lot of people. So anyone jump in if you have any tips or pointers that people can take away with them.
I can talk to that a little bit.
Oh. Go ahead.
Yeah, so one of the things that we've done is we do a lot of university on-sites, and so we kind of dangle a carrot. Instead of our lunch, you know, instead of ordering pizza for our lunch and learns, we're doing a $100 gift card, you know, for joining the session. And then our financial educators have been amazing after the sessions. They kind of follow up if they had any questions. They also will send over any promos we have for that group at the time. So if we have an offer for UW employees, they'll follow up to all the attendees with that offer. So that's been successful for us.
And how about for you, Amber? You were about to say something.
Yeah, I'll just kind of piggyback on what Kristen said. We definitely do a lot of that follow-up too, and making sure that they know what offers are available for their groups. But one of the things we've been doing with our weekly Wellness Wednesday webinars is after the fact, we offer a free financial checkup. There's zero obligation. We'll just look through your finances and let you know if we find anything. And out of that, we've seen a lot of people schedule them. They sit down with us and we find opportunities. We find new members then. We find ways where we can then, you know, transition them over to our investment services group or build that deeper relationship. So we can't let it just stop at that webinar, because we know that after that, you know, they're getting off the phone, they're not paying as much attention, or they're not even going to actually watch it. They're just waiting for the recording later. But offering that follow-up meeting, the ones that are truly interested typically will reach out to us and we get that second touch point in order to build a deeper relationship.
Thank you so much, Michael. Do you have any insights or tips from what you've learned over the past year?
Yeah, you know, I think, you know, one, the incentives were hugely important. And we looked at it as an opportunity, again, to promote some local businesses, offer, you know, incentives to local restaurants and other local businesses, people who engage in our webinars. And then really, I think Kristen mentioned it earlier, but working with our chambers and our business support organizations, we saw a lot of smaller businesses that weren't always an area of focus for us, because we always want that larger employer with more opportunities for membership. But a lot of small businesses got, really small businesses got cast aside by, you know, competitors. So we were able to come in and engage with them, provide some education, provide some resources. And we found that even though the denominator or the pool that you're pulling from might be smaller to begin with, the percentage of people that come in and come to your seminars and come to your events is much higher. And the level of engagement is much higher, because they appreciate that the fact that you took the time and the willingness to come work with them when others don't. And I think the virtual environment allows you to do that in a more efficient way as well.
Beautiful. All really great examples. So thank you all for sharing those.
Thank you very much for that information, and stay tuned for more coverage of CUNA's marketing and new business or business development council conference here on CU Broadcast.
Brought to you by Canvas Credit Union
and CUNA Mutual Group.